This is the Joey English Show Red Hot Treasure Chest for shows and tours.
Presented through the generosity of Daniel Meyer and the Palm Springs International Airport. The website is so dear, flypsp.com. And remember, Southwest Airlines is expanding their service, new nonstops from PSP, that's us, to San Jose. Do you know the, you know the way.
Hey, Joey Pals, this is Daniel Meyer. I wanted you to know that Palm Springs International Airport now has 35 nonstop routes and 13 airlines in season and 16 year-round nonstop routes and 9 year-round airlines. Come fly with us.
In the treasure chest, you've got passes to the Camelot Theaters. Go see a free movie. PSCulturalCenter.org, 325-6565. Best popcorn, You've got a gift certificate to JT's Diner. The website is just that, JTS, for JT's Diner, PalmDesert.com. 674-7600. I tell you, this is like a trip. Should you say down Route 66, up Route 66, on Route 66? That's better. Even the road signs and the gas pumps and the food is amazing. You'll love it. I may keep that. Then, both of Dan Gore's restaurants. You've got a gift certificate to Lu Chow's in the Rim Rock Shopping Center. The website is L-U-C-H-O-W-S, Lu Chow's, palmsprings.com, 655-0045, because some days, because it's kind of new and we're getting it up and running, it's just takeout some days, and then it's you can eat in other days, so that I don't get it wrong, you call before you go over there, but you'll love it.
Hello, Joey Pals. It's Dan from Oscars and Lu Chow's in Palm Springs. I want to see your beautiful faces at my restaurants. Come check them out. Lu Chow's opened a few weeks ago, and of course, everyone knows Oscars. We'll see you at the shows.
And then more from Dan Gore. Oscars Cafe and Bar. I call it the Entertainment Center of Palm Springs. 325-1188. There's something going on over there almost every night, and for certain on the weekends. OscarsPalmSprings.com, and it works this way. Let's see, Alan doesn't have children. I've forgotten about Kay. Larry has one, so we'll take the, Joey's got three. We'll take the fourth caller, Joey Pals. 323-JOEY, 323-5639. On your mark, get ready, get set, go. If you're caller number four, I'll mail it all out to you. And thank you for making this show part of your life, part of the fabric of your life for over 26 years. Okay, Joey Pals, we always start off with the folks from the Neurovitality Center. And then we talk to the folks with Kay Hammond from Dementia Help Center. And Larry Davis always says,
we're the last to let you down.
Oh, dear. That's a new one, isn't it, Joey Pals? Usually he says, I'll wait.
Yeah, I'll wait. We can wait. That's what we really do.
So from Forest Lawn, and I've got your questions in front of me. We say hello to Larry Davis. What's your title?
Vice President. Still, always. But, you know, I'm retiring.
I wish you'd quit saying that because I haven't died yet.
Well, hang in there or go quick.
Okay, we had interesting Joey Pal questions, and I'll combine them into one reasonable one, and you handle it the way you feel is appropriate, because it's a little delicate, I think. A few Joey Pals wanted to know how people's remains would be handled after they were lost in the water in that horrible hurricane and the surge of Florida.
Well, they would be handled like any of remains, with dignity and respect, and very carefully. they can be in different stages of decomposition because of being in the water. But the coroner's office would be the initial one to get the remains. And they use divers and they use other means to get them out of the water, and they identify them. And then they would be turned over to a mortuary. Once they're identified, the family makes a decision what mortuary they wish to choose. Then the mortuary would take over from there. And in many cases, of course, if they've been in the water a certain length of time, they're not viewable, but they've been identified and they can be placed in a casket and buried, or they can be cremated. It's up to the families.
I can't imagine, I mean, on every level, what a horrific event that was.
Well, that's true. That's, and it's, you look at the pictures and you see the devastation and you wonder in some ways why weren't there more people. And I know they found more, but they, you know, you see these houses that were pancaked and people were around, and thank God many people got out. But and then they found some survivors on some of these cut off islands, you know, a few days later. It's really, I can't imagine either, viewing the horrific devastation. And then on top of that, losing a loved one in it. And I watched an interview of a lady whose husband is dying. He's on hospice. And they could not get him out of the house in time. And so they wrote it out. And he's in the living room of this house. And she's with him. And they put sleeping bags and blankets and things up against the windows. And they actually interviewed her and him. They both survived, and he was in a very weak voice. And the news was so infatuated by this whole thing, and the wife and the husband agreed that he could just say a few words. And he said it was like living in hell. He said it was just, he said, I can't move. I can't. He could barely talk. And his wife, you know, is this sweet lady caregiving for her husband. And she couldn't, she could only protect him the best she could and kind of ride it out. And thank God there was water in the house, but it wasn't, you know, they didn't flood out, and they got help at pretty quickly. But I thought how easily that could have gone badly. And she said, you know, and he said they were prepared. He's dying. You know, he's in hospice and he knows he's going to die at some point fairly soon. But to have this hurricane take you out before, you know, you're kind of ready. Yeah. So I think watching that and the sense of hope she had and the sense of appreciation for the rescuers and the caregivers and things like that. But and people just thought of her as being such a hero, and I would too, and her husband did, that just she really wrote it out with him. But there are many, many that lost loved ones. And, you know, I think finding the remains and identifying the remains is helpful to the process. I think when you never find the remains, that can be a more challenging and difficult thing to overcome.
You would always think they're alive somewhere.
That is very true. People that have lost people in wars over the years, that's why people, when the, especially World War I and World War II, were many, many soldiers were buried in cemeteries over in Europe. People, their family and friends made it a pilgrimage after the war to go find their grave. And many were repatriated back to the United States. The families wanted them back. But many of the families decided, no, that's where they died, and that's, they didn't want to disturb the remains or go to all the work to get them back, and they thought that's where they should stay.
I have another question that's kind of tied to that. What happens to people who are buried when a hurricane and a surge comes like that? Do caskets float up? What are they? What's the word?
If it affects a cemetery, which,
because some of those old cemeteries in that part of Florida are old.
They are, but it's surprising how well-built mausoleums and cemeteries, and if they're underground, if the ground wasn't disturbed, you know, if it you have a little more of that issue, I think, when it's on a hillside, or Florida's very flat.
Yes.
And I don't think it was churning up deep enough to bring caskets up to the surface. And I have not heard of any of that from any of my colleagues or on news. But, you know, in past experiences around the country where this has happened, they identify the, you know, they usually know what cemetery they came from, and they can, there's certain ways they can, there's some identification on caskets often, and it's a big process. It's nothing any one of us want to have to deal with.
I thought of you when Queen Elizabeth, who, by the way, did you know, was a chocoholic?
I did not know that. And
now you do. I learned.
She wore red well, too.
Yes. I learned where they had an extra couple of pallbearers, and that was a wonderful story, because her casket was quite heavy, because it is lead-lined. And then I read where that is to preserve the body for a lot longer than just traditional methods.
Yes, I'm. My understanding is that they do embalm the royals, and they do it at the castle. They bring people in that take. They don't go to the local funeral home, and it's been a tradition to use a lead-lined casket, and that goes way back to before embalming techniques were as good as they are, because there would be odor, and the lead lined would protect and seal the odor in. And so that's, it's always been a tradition. And I read the same article and how that the casket bearers, because they bear the casket up on their shoulder, and they actually, what you probably couldn't see, I saw in one of the footages, they're actually linking arms under the casket so they don't pull apart from each other when they're making their steps. And there was a historian that was had some knowledge of funerals and things, and we're talking about the lead line, and that Churchill's was also Winston Churchill's, and he was a big man, and they only had the 6 casket bearers, I believe, at the time, and there was one point they were going up some steps, and they slipped and they pulled apart from each other, and that's when they kind of grabbed each other under the casket, and they did not, thank God, they didn't drop the casket, but the detail of that is always very interesting to me, and the special funeral coach that she had, she helped design that. And
well, that's what you're always telling me, design my funeral coach. We're almost out of time. Larry's going, oh, thank goodness. Will you save this question for next time? The governor of California has just signed into law that in 2027, we will be able to use human remains for compost. And I know we don't have time now.
I can just tell you very quickly, okay, that it's 2027. It's probably longer than that because of technology and the licensing. But it's not going to, you're not going to turn people into compost and put them in your flower bed. The remains of that composting has to be, the family has to have some place to put it. Now, it could be under a tree, but it has to be legally accepted in the community that they're going to put them in. There's a lot left, and 2027 is a ways away. There's a lot of the law that isn't detailed to really understand. They're copying what's going on in Washington State. And it's something people have some interest in, but it hasn't been an overwhelming thing that people are doing, yeah, at this point. But
okay, but isn't that interesting? We'll talk about that. Okay, tell us Día de los Muertos.
Day of the Dead is actually on Wednesday, November 2nd, and we're going to have a wonderful celebration, our first in-person one in a couple years. We've got dancers, we've got food, a lot of food, food trucks, taco trucks, and it'll be really fun for the family. It starts at 4 to 6 p.m. here at our Cathedral City location, so we're really excited about it.
And it's free?
Free. Everything's free.
Oh, I love that. Why did you write the whole beautiful flyer in Spanish?
I didn't write it. Because people that want to come will be able to understand it better than I do. Yeah. We do have some English versions of it.
But 4 to 6 p.m., they're going to have altars and the skull things.
Yes. I find it just so interesting. And my mother died on November 2nd, which I think is really cool for this particular thing, because I didn't know anything about it. And now I know that it's such a sacred thing for our Hispanic community. And my mother loved everything to do with the Hispanic community, the people, the food. And so I always now enjoy celebrating her life. And I put her picture on the altar with all the other ones. And it'll be a really neat, wonderful experience.
To continue the conversation and ask Larry Davis all these questions, you can't throw him. He really knows what he's talking about. And he makes it palatable for all of us. Death and dying, there's no way we're going to escape it. I'm working on that, by the way. Phone number, website
forestlawn.com, phone number 760-328-3112.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you.
It's good to see you. Thank you so much.
Joey pals, here is today's Joey English Desert Datebook. Here's Joey.
Okay, Joey pals, ACT Tours remind you there are 7 days in a week. Some day isn't one of them. Travel the world while you can with ACT. This Palm Springs-based operator has been customizing vacations since 1976 to all 7 continents at prices you can afford. Go with a company you can trust that has been there, done that. Go with me next March to Dubai and Qatar and Abu Dhabi. Please phone 322-1247 or visit ACT-Tours for a menu of both international tours and day excursions. Here comes Dana Haynes down from the mothership with your astrological forecast. Go to astrologyworldnews.com and we'll be under the sign of Libra until October 23rd, but check in with her just to get your own astrological forecast. Desert Water Agency reminds you, DWA has approved new water restrictions and now they're issuing citations. No sprinklers during daylight hours, and restaurants can only serve water upon request. Skip overseeding this fall. They advise you to go gold. That means your grass turns goldish, dead, to help the statewide drought. DWA.org/overseed to learn more. Just fabulous with that darling website, the letter B, justfabulous.com. They have events for Modernism Week on Saturday, October 15th. From 12 to 2 p.m., they have a book signing. They have things going on all month, something on Saturday, October 23rd, something on Saturday, November 5th. Check out that great website, Lalo Visions. That's Lalo, L-A-L-O, visions.com. Connect with your angels during a reading with Lalo Tachikin. Psychic to the psychics to find out what the world holds in store for you. Lalo's detailed messages delivered at his office overlooking Joshua Tree National Park in nearby Yucca Valley will astound you. Phone this gifted spiritual consultant, 401-1810. It's a great gift idea, and as Pat Boone would tell you, you'll thank me. The Palm Springs aerial tram supposedly reopened on Monday, October 10th. I would suggest checking pstramway.com just to be certain. Number one tourist attraction in the Coachella Valley, a great place to send your guests when they come for Thanksgiving and Christmas. The Palm Springs Cultural Center Camelot Theater, home of the world's best popcorn. I've gone beyond the Coachella Valley. It's now the world's best popcorn. Pick from some of these things. Sundays with Keisha D, that's a weekly event. Mondays with Mon Petit Salon, that's weekly. Tuesdays, Jazz on the Second Floor, that's weekly. Wednesdays, Open Mic with Les Michaels, that's selected Wednesdays, Thursdays with Razzle Dazzle, selected Thursdays, Sundays the Certified Market, selected days Palm Springs Rewinds with Tim Burton, or the Monthly Outlook Book Club. Say that fast. The Monthly Outlook Book Club. Check it all out at psculturalcenter.org. Thus endeth a pretty good reading of the Joey English Desert Date Book. Okay, Joey pals, tomorrow the Talk of Stars with Karen and Tony Baroni. Until then, you be well.